You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Morning, everybody, and welcome back to Radio Rehab. It's always exciting to be here and introduce the community to people that are willing to share their experience, strength, and hope, and a lot of their expertise about how we can try to make a difference in our community for people that are addicted to different substances or behaviors, gambling, whatever it is, and also now co-occurring disorders. We're seeing a lot more people, not just with an addiction problem, but also depression, bipolar, ADHD, post-traumatic stress disorder. People are really hurting. So Radio Rehab is just an opportunity to meet and greet people and hear what they're doing and what their thoughts are and what your thoughts are. So if you want to call in and ask any questions at any point in this whole interview, please don't hesitate to do so. Nothing's below the belt. We want to hear your thoughts, questions, concerns. That's what we're here to talk about for the next hour. The number is 424-1400. Well, the guest that I have today is somebody I have known and respected for probably 20, before I even got clean and sober, I knew this man. He has been an attorney, a criminal defense lawyer in the tri-state area for 25 years. His name is Bob Canada, and for the past 5 years, Bob has worked tirelessly with Judge Trockman in the Vandenberg County Drug Court as it has expanded to meet different target populations, and he loves it. He loves working with the addict and the alcoholic. So I think hearing about him this morning and you all calling, asking questions, getting to know what he thinks we can do, what he has seen over the years that's made some differences, I think it's going to be a great show. So thank you for coming, Bob.
Well,
I really appreciate it on a Saturday you taking the time.
I'm looking forward to talking to you.
Yes, you too. We were talking before the show just about, my God, you were born and raised in southern Indiana, so you're a homegrown guy.
That's right, yeah. Grown up right here.
Did you always, even in high school, as you were growing up, know that you wanted to be a lawyer?
I did, which is kind of strange, but I decided early on I wanted to be a criminal lawyer, and it's worked out.
So were you influenced by people like Perry Mason? And I loved Perry Mason growing up.
Oh, yes. All those kind of shows were, you know, that very romantic view of what a criminal defense lawyer is. And a lot of that's true, you know. I do a lot of trial work, and that is very exciting, and, mm-hmm. you know, being in a murder trial and slugging it out in the courtroom is exciting and stressful, but it's something I really enjoy. And I've done that for 25 years. I think the attraction to it is that it gives you an opportunity to take on the abuses of government. And you stand up for the little person. And that's very rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
And so during that time, I've seen kind of a revolving door. I've seen people that I've represented in drug cases, and then I'd see them again 2 or 3 years later, and the door would revolve again, and here they came, and people I've represented 3 and 4 times.
Drug offenses?
In drug cases. And, you know, that's it's troubling to see. So, you know, on the one hand, I've seen good people who've been imprisoned mm-hmm. unnecessarily for long periods of time because they were involved in drugs, and cases where I thought the system unnecessarily imprisoned these people. And that's terrible, and mm-hmm. I've fought that, sometimes successfully, sometimes unsuccessfully. And then I've also seen, by watching this revolving door, I realized that There are also good people who are imprisoned by their addiction.
Yeah.
And so what I do now is a combination of both. I try to, when the circumstances are appropriate, I try to help people fight the system to avoid unnecessary incarceration and help them avoid the system where possible. And other people have addictions, and they can be helped through the court system now that we've made changes. You know, the system used to be strictly lock them up, mm-hmm. throw away the key, and through because of some innovative work by people like Judge Trockman here in Evansville, we have a different outlook on the system now where...
It's a tough sell. I know Judge Meyer in Warrick County, too, thank God, took this endeavor on. But it's a tough sell to law enforcement, to prosecutors. There's still, probably you and I don't see that side of the community, but there's still a lot of people that have that lock 'em up attitude.
Oh, absolutely. I think when these judges, that Judge Trockman and Judge Meyer got into this this arena, they took a big leap of faith.
Definitely.
The public could very well have said, well, you know, these judges are soft on crime.
They do, yeah, exactly.
And fortunately, the public, as the drug court movement has played out, public has been very supportive, mm-hmm. and they see that it works, it helps people, it saves money. You know, it costs $60 a day to have someone incarcerated in prison.
That's if they're healthy.
Right, exactly. You know? Exactly. And you give someone a 40 or 50-year sentence, they're not going to be healthy during that
How
time.
How in the world can you give somebody a 40-year sentence? Is that for, like, conspiracy, or are there still those sentences being handed down for possessions?
There are. And well... Not just
depending
for possession.
Depending how much you possess,
but,
I guess.
Yeah. But, you know, so you've got people who are old men in prison.
I know.
And, of course, they require a lot of health care. So the costs are enormous.
And, yes.
And things like drug courts are diverting those people away from prison and saving mm-hmm. the taxpayers a great deal of money. And, you know, more importantly, saving lives.
Yeah,
I've seen people who were just throwing their lives away, mm-hmm. Particularly with methamphetamine. Methamphetamine is just...
Every day in the paper you see a meth bust.
Yes, and it's just, it's really mm-hmm. been a scourge and a very difficult thing to overcome.
Yeah.
And drug courts have been somewhat successful mm-hmm. in changing that.
Bob, you've been around 25 years. What do you think it is about methamphetamine that's made it so attractive to all segments, genders, ages, socioeconomic? I mean, you remember the cocaine days, the marijuana days, the Quaalude days. Every decade we've had our stuff, but this methamphetamine trumps cocaine all over the place.
It really doesn't, and I wish I had an explanation for it. It's, you know, it's just everywhere.
Yeah.
And so maybe it's because it's so pervasive that...
That's true. It's easy to make.
Yes. That's right.
So you got involved in the Vandenberg County Drug Court 5 years ago, and they are getting ready to celebrate their 10 years, so you've been there 50% of their longevity. How... Do you like the drug court? Has that been something?
It's been really rewarding. You know,
yeah.
As I say, over the years, seeing people, having clients that I've cared about, and see them a year or two later, back with more problems, back in trouble with the law, or with their addiction problems, that's frustrating. And the drug court gives me an avenue to refer people where they can make changes in their lives. Mm-hmm. And it's just tremendously rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
The, you know, we've been fighting this so-called war on drugs since
the 60s.
Since 1969.
Well, Nancy Reagan, yeah.
You know, so,
just say no.
And I think, you know, it's been very unsuccessful. You know, it's been typically a war on people who use drugs,
and
rather than a war on drug addiction is what we need.
Good point. It looks like we have a question. Hello? Welcome to Radio Rehab.
Lisa, good morning. This is Wayne Trockman.
Oh, my God. Why aren't you down here with us, Judge Trockman?
I wish I were. I wish I could be.
We wish you could, too. Good morning.
And hello to Bob also.
Good morning, Judge.
I just wanted to say, Lisa, that I, too, have known Bob Canada for 25 years. And even though we're celebrating our 10th anniversary this week, Bob Canada has been advocating on behalf of his client for treatment instead of prosecution for the whole 25 years I've known him. He's 15 years at least ahead of this movement, and he's just an invaluable member of our team. So I just wanted to call and say thank you, Bob, for everything that you do.
Aww.
Thank you, Judge. That means a lot to me.
Yeah, Judge Trockman, he's been talking about how meaningful the drug court movement is in our communities, for sure. But you're saying he even had a jump start ahead of the drug court movement.
Mr. Canada has been advocating for treatment, as I said, the entire time I've known him, which is how long, Bob? 25 years? We don't want to admit anymore.
Yeah, yes. We neither one look like it, Judge, but it has been 25 years.
Wow.
Congratulations, and look forward to seeing you both this week at the celebration.
Yes, it's going to be
a celebration. Yeah. Judge, is anybody in the community invited to that in the evening at 5?
Anyone is welcome. It's going to be in courtroom 104 at 5 p.m., and we have a very special keynote speaker coming from Washington, D.C. to celebrate with us.
Well, thank you. We will continue to remind the Radio Rehab audience this morning about that and invite them to come.
Very good. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judge.
See you soon. So you've been, you were starting to say on the tail end of the war on drugs from the start, just as Judge Trockman said. So there are lawyers out there that have tried to push for a better way for a long time. So drug court must be the icing on the cake for you.
Yes, it was, just such a breath of fresh air when the drug court movement started. And we had this avenue then through the system to get people help. And the drug court started, Judge Trockman started 10 years ago. The 10th anniversary will be Tuesday. It'll be a big celebration. Really, there are drug court is sort of an umbrella for four components of the drug court.
Here in Vandenberg County?
In Vandenberg County, yes. There is the day reporting drug court, which is for pretty much first offenders.
D-felonies?
D-felony possession type cases, and sometimes, drug-related theft cases, for example. And those people go through the program, and if they're successful, get their cases dismissed, and they avoid a felony conviction that way.
That's a gift.
It is. Having a felony conviction is a lifelong
scarlet
stain.
Letter. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it haunts them the rest of their lives.
Yes.
So it's an enormous benefit. Then the second component is what's called forensic diversion, which is a 3-year program, and that's for someone who has a longer record or a more serious offense. And
like sales?
Well, more like, say, small-time cooks, people manufacture for themselves and to support their habit, that sort of thing, or somebody that's been arrested several times. they need a longer period of treatment. And
I don't know if it's the same in Vandenberg County, but in Warrick County, if they have over 3 grams, they're immediately charged with intent to manufacture.
Right.
Three grams? Come on, that's not manufacturing.
That's right. And, you know, there are other laws, you know, similar to that. If you're within 1,000 feet of a park.
Yeah.
You
can't avoid that in Boonville. I don't know about Evansville, but yeah, it's park. There's parks within 1,000 feet.
Well, or in 1,000 feet of a school.
Right.
You know, in the inner city of Evansville, there is no place that's not within 1,000 feet of a school.
Exactly.
And so that's where
defense attorneys have to come in.
Yeah, I really disagree with those laws. You know, I don't think they really serve any useful purpose. But at any rate.
So you got the day reporting forensic diversion.
That's right. And forensic diversion is 3 years, and the person does get a conviction in that situation. We have a reentry court, and that's for someone who has been to prison, and then they come back into the community and they come into our drug court, and they're monitored here. Often those people have completed what's called the therapeutic community at Branchville, one of the prisons, which is a 9-month treatment program. So they complete that program, and then they come back to drug court for the reentry court. And those are rewarding people to work with, because it's helping them get a new start. They come back and they have nothing. For a large number of them. And then the fourth component of our drug court is a new component, which is the Veterans Court.
Yes.
And we're just getting started with that, and that was Judge Kiley started that program for people who've served this country and now have problems. And often they have unique problems related to their service. They have post-traumatic stress, drug and alcohol addictions that often are related to their service. And so we're developing this program that provides treatment for people with those issues.
The veterans, so Judge Trockman is still very much alive and well, it sounds like, and celebrating 10 years. But now other judges, and I know Judge Markram at one time talked about a mental health court, so it looks like between you and Judge Trockman, you're planting some seeds in the community, and other judges now are also wanting to start specialized courts to keep people from going to prison. That's exciting.
Right. It really is. Yes, we've got really two judges in drug court. Judge Kiley handles the day reporting drug court and the veterans court. And then Judge Trockman handles the forensic diversion and the reentry.
Oh, my. Leave it to you and Judge Trockman to keep those tough ones, huh?
That's right.
But how rewarding, come out of prison with no hope of going back into a dysfunctional community. How am I going to do this? And you offer them a better way.
They come out with no resources, it's a challenge.
Mm-hmm. And I think as a community, sometimes we forget to put ourselves in their shoes. Anyway, don't go away, Radio Rehab. We have to give our sponsors a few minutes here. We're talking to Bob Canada. Don't hesitate to call if you have any questions. We'll be right back.
Hey, sweetie.
Yeah?
We need to make a decision about naming our son. I still like Christopher.
I don't like Christopher. What about Michael?
Are you a Michael? Are you a little Mikey?
Seriously, Mom and Dad? I'd really appreciate you making up your minds. I'm going to be graduating soon.
Some things can only be put off for so long. Tax season ends April 18th. Hurry down to H&R Block and we'll help you claim your maximum refund. And if you're not quite ready, we can still help with filing an extension for free. Call 1-800-HR-BLOCK. An extension of time to file is not an extension of time to pay taxes due. Offer expires 4-18-11. At participating locations.
Time for Walmart's 30-second recipes. Today, perfect strawberry parfaits. First, head to the nearest Walmart. Next, grab a carton of farm-fresh strawberries. It's easy. They're right up front. Pick some delicious Yoplait French vanilla yogurt or other flavors work too, and a box of great value granola. Once home, layer the yogurt, granola, and sliced strawberries in your favorite glass and serve. Nutritious new snacks thanks to Walmart's fresh strawberries and Walmart's low prices. Save money, live better. Walmart.
Something beautiful happens when you bring together a grilled cheese sandwich and a warm, savory bowl of Campbell's tomato soup. The moment they see each other, tomato soup starts to blush. Grilled cheese goes all gooey. And the closer they get, the more tomato soup gets a little steamy, the more grilled cheese sizzles. And we'll leave what happens next up to your imagination, because this is a family-friendly meal. Grilled cheese and Campbell's tomato soup. It's amazing what soup can do.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warren County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Welcome back. We are talking to Bob Canada today, who is a defense lawyer in Vandenberg County and part of the Vandenberg County Drug Court team as a participant advocate, working very closely with the participants that come into either the reentry court, the forensic diversion, the day reporting drug court, the Veterans Court. He's involved with all of them right at the grassroots level. So we were talking at break, and I was just asking Bob what you think are some of the challenges that you've seen gotten better over the 25 years you've been doing this, and some of the challenges you think we still as a community and as family members really need to look at. Do we have a caller? Wait a minute. Let me hold on, Bob. This looks like somebody's calling. Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, this is Dawn.
Dawn, hi. Oh my
hi.
God, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. I have a question for you.
Thank you for calling, sure.
I'm in recovery, and so I'm not saying my last name.
Right.
But I often see people in the rooms of recovery and outside that I think surely could benefit from drug court. And they're in legal trouble, and they end up just getting a prison sentence. And I'm just curious, what is the criteria? How do you decide? How do they determine who is eligible for drug court?
Oh, great question.
Good,
what if someone
question.
Just wants to come into drug court?
Well, the criteria vary with the different programs. Someone who is, for example, a first offender charged with possession of drugs would be a very likely candidate for drug court. The primary criteria is motivation to recovery. If someone doesn't have that desire to get into treatment and to be successful in recovery, they wouldn't be considered for drug court. So the caller said that she has met some of these people in treatment who apparently are motivated to recovery. Would be exactly the sort of person that we would like.
How do you get in, though? What if it's a mother or a sister that wants to give that opportunity to somebody they love? Can somebody just off the streets get involved and considered for the drug court?
Well, the drug court's for people who have a pending criminal case.
Yeah.
And so someone that has a case like that can apply. We don't take violent offenders. It is for people who are in trouble with the law because of a drug addiction. So I'm sure there are people that we miss that, you know, that would be good candidates, and that's unfortunate.
Could people hire you as an attorney to help access their family member to drug court if they have an offense?
They could, or they could talk to really any lawyer and propose that. And then the way the process works is there's kind of a preliminary determination that they might be eligible. And if that's the case, they're referred to the drug court and then evaluated, given some screening tests. And if they meet that criteria and appear to be motivated, then they've got a good chance of being accepted.
What do you think about that, Dawn?
Okay, well, you've answered my question. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for calling in. And, yes, if you have anybody that you know that would benefit from the drug court program, they could call Bob Canada personally, or he said any other lawyer, and try to access somebody in there. Because I think you have to look at the legal criteria as well as the clinical criteria, right?
That's right, both.
That's good to know.
Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
And thank you for all the help you did with my condo. I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I think a lot of people in recovery, as Dawn, see this drug court movement, and people are mandated to go to AA or NA. So we see a lot of people in the rooms of AA and NA that are from the drug court program, and they do seem, even though they're getting a nudge from you all in drug court, they seem to respond very well to the AA-NA philosophy.
Well, and the 12-step meetings, mm-hmm. the AA and NA, have been found to be the most successful type of treatment that's available.
Yeah.
And so I would encourage.
But you know, yeah, but people say, how can I get my family member in that drug court program? Because they see it working for people, and they're like, how do we get in? So I think a lot of people get those questions. How do you get into drug court?
Well, we're always looking for people who are motivated like that.
Right, right. So is that something that you have seen change over the years, Bob, that level of motivation or the awareness of addiction as an illness?
Yes, it has changed. Some years ago, the sole philosophy was lock them up. The war on drugs was a war on people that use drugs. And I saw a lot of good people go away for many years because of that philosophy that I just don't buy into, and now there is more of an emphasis on treatment, and I think people see that often drug usage is the result of say impulsivity, that someone
just impulse. They weren't even really craving it or looking for it.
Right.
Just impulse.
And so a sanction like prison is really not a deterrent to drug usage, because it's not a thought-out behavior. It's something that happens. And so you need to change the way people think about drugs and their attitude toward drug usage.
Do you personally, and professionally, consider marijuana a drug?
I personally think marijuana ought to be legalized.
Yeah, me too, but since it's not, we get a lot of first-time offenders with marijuana. We even have somebody in our drug court right now that had big trunk full of pounds of marijuana. Yeah, but,
and that's maybe a little different. But
yeah, that's a dealing thing. But
marijuana, I think, I personally think of it like alcohol.
Me too.
It's something that can be abused and can cause major problems.
And it can be a gateway. And so can alcohol.
And for young people who start smoking dope early, it stunts your growth, your maturity level.
God, it has memory, focus, concentration, horrible effects on the brain.
And the same is true with alcohol.
Yes.
Now, and I view those differently than, methamphetamine.
Crack cocaine, opiates.
So dangerous. And the abuse of prescription medications now is terrible. There are a lot of people, drugs like Xanax and Valium, those are very dangerous. Lortabs.
And quickly prescribed, even by a dentist.
Yes.
We have folks in the drug court in Warwick County that tell their doctor, I'm in a program getting screened. I can't take anything that's narcotic, opiate, stimulant, and they still walk out of there with a prescription.
That's true. And it's very dangerous.
Do you in drug court, in your drug court, see that as a relapse if they take medication that was prescribed to them?
No, if it was prescribed, we do not view it as a relapse, but we do view it as something that needs to be looked at closely, and that maybe the person needs to be monitored because taking something like a Lortab can lead to a relapse.
Yeah.
And you would understand the effects on the pharmacological effects better than I would. But
Dr. Mackey, we use addictionologists a lot to help advise us on how to do that with somebody. Is it a legitimate deal here? Because we can't play doctor, but we're pretty firm about our target population and what the drugs they can use and drugs they can't use. But sometimes we have to bring in a doctor or a pharmacist to our team meeting to explain and train us on how to look at it with a specific individual.
Yeah, and there are medications, of course, that people need.
Right.
You know, people who have attention deficit issues.
Oh, yeah. The whole co-occurring disorder, if we think we can treat that without medication, we're kidding ourselves. I remember in the days of AA in the beginning, you couldn't even mention that you were taking any other medications. You know, it was 100% total abstinence and a real intolerance if you had to take any other kind of medication. And now we're saying, wait, let's welcome people in that have serious depression or attention deficit disorders, but we want you to do it without medication.
No, I don't see that. If someone's got depression or attention issues, those have to be, or bipolar.
Oh, my,
those can only be dealt with.
And that's such a challenging issue for a person that suffers from that as well.
And how often do you see that? So often that a person with an addiction problem is depressed, mm-hmm. and they're self-medicating. Same with attention deficit.
Mm-hmm.
So often people are self-medicating. So.
Yeah, and that, like you said earlier, that impulsivity that goes with the ADHD.
Right.
So what are some of the things that you've seen over the years that you think are still very, very challenging from a legal perspective or even for us as a community to try to understand?
Well, there are still times when I think the system doesn't recognize the importance of treatment, where the system could be changed to better address the needs of people that suffer from addictions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's still a lot of denial about what addiction is, and a lot of people still think it's a willpower issue or it's a sin,
exactly.
Not a sickness.
I hear that so often. And you know, as you know, people in recovery sometimes have that false thought that it's all willpower. That,
yes.
You know, well, I know I can do it because I've decided, and I'm very strong-willed, and, mm-hmm. and I'm going to do this. Well, it's not that easy.
No,
it's a difficult, long road.
And it is a tough thing to have to accept. You know, we do want to rely on our willpower, I think, and believe that we have good mental performance. We can take care of ourselves. You know, it's hard to say that this part of our life is totally unmanageable. It's hard on the ego.
Yeah. But, you know, one of the big challenges that I see are people who have successfully gone through treatment. They've completed a treatment program and trying to get on with their life. The employment opportunities are so
mm-hmm.
bad.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a felony conviction, your chances of employment are so mm-hmm. greatly reduced. And so if there are some employers in this community that have been good about offering jobs to people who have completed treatment, but so many employers don't have that approach to it.
No, it's too high risk, they figure. You know, Gary May has done so much in this area with disabilities.
Right.
You know, alcoholism and addictive disorders is a disability. And maybe if we could get employers to understand this is an illness, yes, there was some legal, and I think you and Judge Trockman, I know Judge Meyer, have been out, you know, beating the pavements trying to get employers to understand that.
Oh, sure. You've got people like Ron Romaine.
Oh,
who have,
yeah.
You know, done so much.
Right. So, what a gift to this community to have an employer like that.
Absolutely. We need more people like that.
Right, right. But you're right. The economic challenges these folks have is depressing. You know, when you can't even afford gas to get to day reporting. Jeez, that's depressing.
Exactly. If you don't have resources, it's sometimes it makes it more challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Recovery is always challenging.
Yeah.
But if you don't have resources, you don't have a family that has enough money to help you out a little bit, or you don't have a job, or you don't have a car, a driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
You have double the burdens.
Yeah. When we first started in Warrick County, I know Judge Meyer talked to somebody at Hope Hall to see if we could have one of us there to do morning reporting so that they didn't have to come all the way to Boonville to breathalyze and drug screen. And we worked out an arrangement with Hope Hall so that the Vandenberg County people could go there and report. Maybe we need to do more of that. Go to them. You know, rather than make them come to us.
We need to think creatively, and we don't always do that.
Yeah, like where's a location that would help certain people, like C.K. Newsom, if they can't make it all the way out to the jail?
Right.
What about having somebody for 2 hours a morning, like Larry Paul or Todd, just be there for 2 hours and have folks come there for day reporting?
Right.
You know, it increases the chance they succeed. And I think both the folks that we went to Hope Hall to do day reporting with are still clean and sober today.
That's great.
And if they'd had to come to Boonville when they lost their license for repeat drunk driving, they'd have never been able to succeed. So we tried to meet them where they were at. And maybe that's the next move for us in the court systems, is not expect them to come to us. Maybe we go to them a little bit more, or at least meet halfway.
I think that's true. The drug court has tried to do that, and
mm-hmm.
we could probably improve on that as well.
Well, and like you and I were saying, what about these repeat drunk drivers? And, you know, in our county, it's easier really to be considered for a drug court program if you're a meth addict than it is a drunk driver. I'd like to hear, what do you think about that? There's still prejudice between the different kind of drug classifications, too. Oh, that's a meth addict. Oh, that's a drunk. You know, oh, that's a junkie.
Sure. And, well, like you're talking about repeat drunk drivers, you know, one option with a repeat drunk driver, you can send them to prison for 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
18 months later, they're going to come out.
Thirsty.
Probably more thirsty.
I get thirsty hearing them get sentenced.
So
wow.
They're going to be out, and they're going to be drinking and driving, and we're all at risk. Or the alternative is put them in a drug court, help them get treatment,
mm-hmm.
and change their lives and make everyone safer.
You're taking drunk drivers in Vandenberg now?
Yes.
Well, yeah, good, good. Don't go away, Radio Rehab. We've got a great discussion going with Bob Canada, one of our favorite defense lawyers in the tri-state. Don't go away. Come back, ask questions. We will be right back.
WEOA, the most diverse radio station in the tri-state, is proud to announce two new exciting programs for our Hispanic friends in the community. Tune in every Saturday afternoon at 12:30 to the new 24/7 Dad's Hispanic program in Spanish, sponsored by the Juan Diego Latino Center. The half-hour show discusses life skills, parenting, and a host of other relevant topics. Connexion Thalia Radio Show. Thalia is a platinum-selling recording artist, internationally known, and nationally syndicated radio host. This popular two-hour weekly program comes to Evansville by way of WEOA every Sunday afternoon from 12 to 2 p.m. Thalia discusses music, fashion, and entertainment. See you this Sunday at noon for the Connexion Thalia Radio Show, sponsored by the Juan Diego Latino Center. You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Welcome back, everybody. We're still talking to Bob Canada. There's so many questions to ask of a lawyer about how we can help people and the differences of people in the system. We were talking before break about the drunk driver. I guess we didn't even get to that yet on the show, talking about the drunk driver, and Bob thought it might be a good idea to talk a little about the drunk driver, but also just about the day-in, day-out operation of the drug court program, and then have him tell you some things that are coming up in the celebration of their 10th year.
Well, kind of loosely speaking, the drug court is what's called a treatment court, and that is it provides a structure for people that are in recovery. The big components of drug court would be, first of all, day reporting. Participants of the drug court report every morning, early in the morning. They get a breathalyzer every morning, and that's 7 days a week. Several of those days, they'll take a drug screen, and a random drug screen. They will come to court once a week to see the judge, and the judge will review their progress. They'll talk to the case manager about the case and have some personal interaction with the participant to see how they're doing. One of the other big components of the program are home visits. And we were talking earlier about coming to the participants, mm-hmm. and that's where that does happen. Mm-hmm. The drug court has officers who work with drug court. They make random visits to the participant's home just to see how things are going, make sure that
They're at their curfew.
they're where they're supposed to be. They are. There's no one around who maybe is a drug using person from the past. That there are there's no alcohol in the house. And I think that's a really major component. Mm-hmm. And you see participants develop a good relationship with those officers, mm-hmm. and it becomes very important to them.
It's a real pro-social movement from the antisocial, boo to the law, boo to authority, and now they're seeing themselves as aligning with that home verification officer.
That's right, yeah. So there, when we say drug court, we're talking about all of these things. They're required to go to treatment, to one of the treatment programs, and to go to 12-step meetings. By that I mean AA or NA, and they're required to go the first 90 days. They're required to go every day, mm-hmm. which, as you know, is a key component of AA. Studies show that people that go to 90 meetings in 90 days are. Mm-hmm. Tremendously more likely to remain sober a year later.
Right.
It's just a proven fact.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So those are the
components.
The primary components of the program.
And it's got incredible outcomes as far as recidivism and relapse, reoffending, the best thing going so far. You would think every county would be willing to pay tenfold for a drug court to be in their county.
You would think so, but there are the communities nearby. I mean, Warwick is an exception. Warwick County is an exception. Mm-hmm. So many other counties, you have that old philosophy that, by God, we're going to lock them up, and that's how we're going to stop drugs and alcohol in this county. Yeah. Well, that just does not work.
No.
It never has worked. It never will work.
Now, does community corrections in Vandenberg County, that's the safe house?
That's right. Work release.
Work release, and that's very different than a drug court program.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not – that's completely separate from the drug court.
It's not as rehabilitation-focused. Is that right?
I think that's right.
It's more ankle bracelets and,
yeah.
More punitive
approach. Less emphasis on recovery.
And the case management piece of it,
And so that's, that's a big benefit to being on the drug court is you're not in prison or in jail or on work release.
Mm-hmm.
You're at home with your family. And developing new relationships with different people and doing different things.
And that really is a new, innovative way to deal with somebody labeled a criminal, that's for sure. Bob, do you see any difference in the way people deal with repeat drunk drivers as opposed to drug addicts?
Well,
to judges or prosecutors, they're more dangerous. I've heard that said, that the alcoholic is really more dangerous because when they relapse, even if they're on Anabuse and Interlock and everything, if they want to drink, I know a lot of judges are afraid they could really be a danger.
Well, the person that's out driving isn't. That's
right.
That's a big concern. And so, yes, there is a different posture probably toward alcohol
drugs. We'll have to have you come back a whole other show and devote it to alcohol abuse. Now, we got a caller just a second. Hello, welcome to Radio Rehab.
Well, hi, Lisa. This is Marvelline.
Marvelline, I was just going to mention you.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Hello.
Okay. I guess I'm concerned that there seems not to be a link between the judicial system, drug court in particular, and the African-American community. I don't know how many African-American participants there are in drug court, and I'm really not asking, but I think that at some point the program needs to be brought to the streets, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like your comment, Bob, on that, or Lisa. Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling. Marvelline's helped get this radio rehab going to help the African-American community access treatment.
Well, I think her comment is on point. We have to recognize cultural differences, and we don't always do a good job of that.
Yeah.
Marvelline's input is helpful in trying to get us to do that.
Do you still see we have a long way to go in getting African Americans more attracted to white authority and the white system and, and we need people like Marvelline Kelly, others to help us bridge that gap, I think, but...
Right. It is a relatively white system.
Yeah.
And that's not right. We need to increase our... the involvement of the African American community and our own understanding.
Are there very many African Americans in the drug court program?
There are, yes.
So it is attracting more African Americans in reentry. Or have you seen that, Marvelline? You still there?
I would like to see us attract more African American African-Americans into the program. But we've got a significant number.
Yeah. I think, well, Marvelline touched on what you and I touched on, just going where people are and meeting them where they're at maybe needs to be our next approach.
Yeah. And it also, in a similar vein, it touches on what we talked about earlier as far as resources go.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody doesn't have a job or doesn't have an education or family that can help them out, it's very difficult. And those hurdles make it more difficult. And often you see that with African-American people.
Trying to start all over.
Especially young people in the African-American mm-hmm. population.
Do you think we need to treat the young people as well with a little more kid gloves and understand the culture of youth as well as the culture of the black? The culture.
We need to take that into consideration because the criminal population starts at 18.
Yeah.
Well, and of course they're adults in many ways, and legally they're adults. Maturity-wise, we know that their brain is not fully developed.
Right.
And the brain doesn't fully develop until you're in your 20s. There's a documented difference in the way, just for example, the way young people sleep.
Hmm.
You know,
they wake up at midnight like vampires.
They find it difficult to go to sleep.
Yes.
You know, at 10 o'clock at night.
That's right.
Like we might and get up at 6. You know, it's
different rhythms.
Their body rhythms, and you know, the medical studies show that they're more attuned to going
That's
to sleep
right.
at 2 and getting up at 10.
That's right. Absolutely.
And so then for them to be required to be in at to check in
at 7 a.m.
at 7 a.m. is tough.
That is.
And so you've got to take into account to some
all
extent
all those cultures.
That the young person culture.
You know. So you think by, tell us a little more about your big celebration for the 10th year this Tuesday night at 5 o'clock. Maybe that's good you all decided to have it at 5 o'clock. That way all the young people can show up because they'll be waking up about that time.
They'll be up by then.
Yeah.
Yes, it's at 5 o'clock in the at the courthouse.
And you better be there, Marvelline.
Yes. We have a special speaker, Wes Huddleston, from the National Drug Court Institute. We're all excited about that. We'll have a graduation. We have several people who have completed the program, and we have every time we have people graduate, we have a ceremony similar to a high school graduation.
And the Fair Board prepares great food.
Yes.
Joy, Doris, oh my God, those guys bring some good food to those graduations.
Absolutely, and we get to hear from each of the participants and tell us a little bit about their experience in drug court, and we learn from that what mm-hmm. we can do better, and it's very exciting to hear their stories and their successful stories. So
the graduation will be part of the celebration of the 10th year as well?
That's right. And so we're hoping that a lot of people from the community will come down to see it.
And support it, sure.
Yes.
That'll be in Judge Trockman's courtroom 104?
104.
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. Hope everybody will come.
Tuesday night for a party.
That's right.
Bob, I want to ask you so much more, and I'm sure there's so much more people would call in and ask, but we've got to close. Would you come back?
Absolutely.
I would love to pick your brain on what you think about the drunk driving issues, too. I think we need to hear more about that because there are a lot of young people out there getting busted for minor consumptions and underage drinking, and I'd like to see what you think about that as well.
I'd be glad to. I've enjoyed this, Lisa.
This is great. Thank you. Thank you for all you do. I knew you'd been in it a long time, but I didn't know till Judge Trockman called that you've been trying to help with the drug and alcohol addict for many, many, many years, and I hope you continue to. We need you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for coming. Radio Rehab, we have to close again. It goes too fast. Jeez. Again, if you want to call and ask Bob Canada any questions when we go off air, please call. You can write questions or comments, and we'll get them to Bob Canada. Or if you need a good criminal defense attorney, Bob Canada's phone number is 477-7999, 477-7999. Please celebrate with him and his Vandenberg County Drug Court team on Tuesday night, 5 o'clock in room 104 at the court building, Judge Trockman. And don't forget, between now and next Saturday, to do the next right thing.